Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. A guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Schwabba.
Right now, we've got a few more minutes with On Stage for Cancer, Kim Shefik, Chef Chick. Kim, just get me in a headlock and start wailing on me. I can't. And I've got Schwabba. I can relate to you because everybody gets my name wrong. I have to spell my name for every person I'm on the phone with.
It's okay.
Chef Chick.
I went to the matriarch of the family to ask, how do you pronounce this name? And even she said, I have no idea.
That's
so therefore you say it however you want.
All right.
It's all good.
Kim. Chef Chick. I think I like that the best. It's just hard. It's not hard to say. It's just, it doesn't roll out. I guess. Yeah. Whereas Chris Piat.
It just pops right out.
Pops right out. Adam Korber.
Eh. It rolls a little bit.
It's great having you guys here tonight. The show is June 1st at the Widener Center. On Stage for Cancer, Audrey's Angels. You guys are still looking for sponsors. There's still seats available. We'll have to have you back on before the event, too, and see where you guys are at. I know your Doctors in Recital was a big success.
Yes.
You were here last time before that. Tell us how that went.
It went awesome.
Yeah.
We didn't quite hit a sellout at the Widener, but it was pretty full. And we had a great crowd. We had a great night. Probably, I think the best show that we've had,
right?
Performance-wise. I mean, there was actually a standing ovation mid-show for one of the performances. And then at the end, I had so many people, like, it was their first time coming, and they just couldn't believe how good it was. You know, like, I think people hear Doctors in Recital, like, how good are these people thinking they are? But it was a really good show, and we raised a good amount of money for some really wonderful charities and made a difference again by making music. That's our tagline for that.
Yeah, no, that's great. And you have doctors who can actually sing. Okay. And I'm sure that's a much more successful event than musicians in surgery.
It's funny because if you are good at, you know, fixing something in your garage, you could probably figure out half
brain
the stuff
surgery?
That, well, maybe not brain surgery, but.
I'd repair a torn ACL though. I'm not even handy though.
Sure. Can you use like a hammer, chisel? You've got it.
Use whatever, but I have malpractice insurance too, which is important.
Yeah, that's good.
For a common citizen. So Adam, before we hear you play again, disc golf. That's a great hobby for a guy who plays the cello.
I love it so much. It's the best thing ever.
And you've played Frisbee Ultimate, which to me is the greatest game that's ever been created.
It's similar.
Constant motion.
Yeah.
But disc golf is just throwing the disc, then you walk. It's like actual golf, right? Like
It's more golfy. You're still like, you know, throwing a disc, which truly is the best pastime, is throwing a disc, right? That's the real fun part. And like watching it float and all that kind of, like, that's the fun part, right? If you like the competitive nature of it, then you can play Ultimate, but then you got to be able to like sprint up
to run
the field and all that kind of, right? There's limitations. And then you get to disc golf. That's a solo sport. You can do it in winter. I play in winter.
Nice.
It's fun.
That is nice. Yeah.
It's crazy, but we do it. It's a blast. I love it. Found it during the whole COVID time because it was the safe way to interact with people at the time. And
that's what we did with Ultimate, where I live. There's a group. It's like this little community, and we probably shouldn't have been playing Ultimate, but we're like, wow, we're outside at least.
Sure.
So we played it, and there is nothing more fun, even for a guy who doesn't run that fast, to run down a Frisbee and catch it.
It's absolutely.
I love that game so
I've never played. Is this like soccer, right, where you're kind of passing it?
More like it's like football, but if they catch the football, but you got to like stop in place. And then the entire team runs up, and then
you have to keep going, relay it to them.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no dribbling.
No. If you drop it, the other team picks it and goes the other way. You can't play touch football after playing Ultimate because it's constant motion, and it is so much fun. And the first time you play every year, you feel like you are going to die.
Zone defense will do that to you too. If you play zone defense, seriously, if you play zone defense in Ultimate, you are getting a workout.
Even zone defense,
just
you're absolutely right.
Like, well, if you're playing like cup, in the cup, like the little initial defensive
okay,
line.
You're using words.
I know. I'm going into
sense.
Jargon, and that's because I'm a frisbee head. I like frisbee, so it's fun. But like if you're playing cup, it's literally like constant sprinting. Like you don't stop. There's no stopping.
It's really fun.
This is probably why I've never played sprinting. Like,
you could put like ankle running, weights but... on everybody and make it even more fun.
Oh, God.
So what do you have coming up next? We got to hear some.
Yeah. So before I played some Bach, this is the other bookend. So we've got the 1600s and the 1700s, and now we've got a dude that's still alive. So Mark Sommer is a cellist. He wrote this song called Julio. He's a famous member of the Turtle Island String Quartet for a number of years, but he is just known for doing jazzy type, rhythmically interesting stuff.
Very cool.
Oh gosh.
That's great. Let's
sure.
Whatever you just take it away.
That's gonna be great.
You've earned all of our trust.
Oh,
as a cellist.
Good.
As a celloist.
I'm
glad. Cellist.
What can we do? Do you need me to?
No.
Do you need a spotter?
Good. Nope. We're
okay.
Good. Nope. All is well.
No page turns.
No page turns.
No. Oh, no.
You're
no,
off
no,
the
no.
hook.
I'm off the hook.
Kim is off the hook. All right. This is Adam Korber on the cello. Thank you. Is "Whoa, Nelly" a typical thing to say after someone
That was a visceral, guttural reaction to how awful of a mistake I made. But that's okay.
You didn't hear it. Yeah. Come on. That was outstanding.
Oh, that one just came out. Sorry about that.
No, that was great. Thank you, Adam.
Cool. Very cool.
You guys, this is so great. We have about 60 seconds left. Can you tell me what... Obviously, the music lifts the spirits of, like, your friend Audrey. But can you talk a little bit about how much it raises the spirits of those around people or their caretakers, too? They need support, too, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's a person in this world who hasn't felt emotionally connected to music. And I think it's probably the most unifying thing, unifying language and unifying way to communicate emotion. And so when people are struggling, just to take a moment and appreciate somebody's amazing gift and know that it was put forth to bring people together. Like, that's why people make music, is to bring people together. Mm-hmm. And it's like when you realize the chemistry of your body, like, actually starts running in the same sequence as people who are playing music together. Like, we are meant to do music together. It's amazing.
That is a great... It's a great out for this interview. Well said, Kim. You guys are great. Thank you. Your event is June 1st. It's On Stage for Cancer. Where can people find out more information?
Our website, onstage4cancer. So onstage4cancer.
Are not a fad, folks. Check it out.
They aren't. It's no April Fool's.
On Stage for Cancer. All right. More Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
But I don't see at all. I gotta get away, gotta get away. I don't
know where to go. It's hopeless, so I guess I'll leave it alone.
Well, I spent all that day fixing up to go somewhere.
My
So I forgot in the opening of the show to give our question tonight, and this is interesting. So I had a question. I liked it okay, but during the break, I saw a text from a listener from the 262, John from Milwaukee. It says, Pete, Conrad, what's your favorite movie that features a big snowstorm? Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is a good one. John, South of the Blizzard. That's a great question, Conrad. We're going with John's question.
Sounds good.
We're going to change it up. The show is interactive, folks. You can get involved. And sometimes we concede when we did not come up with the best question. This is better. What's your favorite movie that features a big snowstorm? And I'm even going to cheat and say Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, only because it's one of my top five movies of all time. It's like very close to being a perfect movie, in my opinion. There's no... weak link. The performances are great. The script is great. The story escalates. It keeps getting worse and worse. And then at the end, there's that tug on the heartstrings that comes out of nowhere. It was just beautiful. So well done, John. That's our question. What's your favorite movie that features a big snowstorm? There was a movie out years ago with Chris Elliott who played a snowplow guy. Snow Day, it was called.
Yes.
And I think that was for a certain generation. That's probably up there too. So what is your favorite movie that features a snowstorm? Let us know. That question comes to us via John in Milwaukee, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can let us know on the stream. Like some people have already chimed in, you can go to the app. The app is so easy to use, folks. Download it. We're on statewide. Click on any station and click the text icon. It's right there, and it's super easy to use. We had a guest on a few weeks ago, Nathan Sill, young guy, a parkour guy, an enthusiast. Suffered a kind of a life-altering injury. Like, he's not laid up, but his ankle's all messed up. He had some serious injuries. He made a movie about his experiences and about skateboarding and parkour, and it's called Afterglow. So if you're in the Beloit area, April 10th, Nathan's film, if you heard us interviewing that night, you might be interested in seeing this. April 10th, Afterglow is at the Beloit Film Festival. The festival starts on the 5th. It's crazy because the Wisconsin Film Festival starts on the 4th, on Thursday. The Beloit Festival starts on the 5th. I think Milwaukee starts like literally the day Wisconsin ends, that's three film festivals in 2 weeks. So great stuff for moviegoers. Also on the text from the 216, the day after tomorrow. All right, I have to look that up because is the day after tomorrow the nuclear movie? I'm looking that up. The day after tomorrow. I think that was the one. Yeah. Okay. DC. Must make a daring trek from Washington, DC, a paleoclimatologist to New York City to reach his son trapped in the crosshairs of a sudden international storm, which plunges the planet into a new ice age. I did not see this movie. I was confusing this with the nuclear. All right. This is Dennis Quaid, Jake Gyllenhaal from Roadhouse fame. Great cast. All right. Thank you. 262 or not 262 or 216. I'm adding that to my list. The day after tomorrow. Very nice. So we got snow day, day after tomorrow, planes, trains, and automobiles. From the 920, Steve says, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the bad snowstorm that made him famous. Conrad, your dad just made a really nice pull.
Yeah.
I would not have gone animated Christmas films. That's
or is phenomenal. It the claymation one?
I don't know.
It's your might dad. Be the animated. I don't know which one. I think he's talking about the claymation
one. Either one. Yeah. They work. Those are great. So that's our question for tonight. Please feel free to weigh in. As always, it's fun when you guys get involved. You know, I'm very excited too. I want to plug this. On Thursday night, comedian Tom Dreesen will be here at Nightlight. He's a famous comic. He's been doing stand-up comedy for about 60 years, maybe 50, 50 at least, probably 60. His comedy partner was Venus Flytrap from WKRP, an actor named Tim Reed. They were a comedy team. I want to say they were the first interracial comedy team there ever was. And they were together for a long time, split up. They both went on to have successful careers. Tom just became this like juggernaut of a stand-up comedian, and he ended up opening for Sinatra for decades. They became very good friends. Tom is one of the nicest guys in show business. He treats everybody, an open micer, a fellow headliner, whomever. He's just a gentleman's gentleman. In fact, I reached out. I didn't have any contact information on him. I hadn't talked to him in about 20 years. Sent him a Facebook message. Within 5 minutes, I hear back from Tom Dreesen. He's like 80 and he's on Facebook Messenger. I think that's so cool. So Tom will be here Thursday night to talk about some of his stories, talk a little Sinatra. He'll talk about the time, I hope, I'm going to ask him anyway, about the time Harry Carey outdrank Frank Sinatra. And Sinatra threw up his arms and just said, okay, you win. So that will be fun to have Tom on the show Thursday night. Okay, so as I mentioned last night, I was on Don Rosen's show on WRJN yesterday morning, and Don is a big-time comedy fan. You might remember, if you're a regular listener, Don, I would say about 5 weeks ago, was on the show, informed us that he went to grade school with Jerry Seinfeld, and they were very good friends. And who's the guy, Conrad? They had a friend who was ticked off that Seinfeld never hung out with them anymore. Like, the guy was in his 30s, and still, like, Jerry never calls us anymore. It's like, what the hell? And they wrote a Seinfeld about it. I can't remember the name of the character, but they kind of made fun of that guy. And I just love it. Anyway, Don is a big comedy fan. One of his favorite comedians is Brian Regan. He's one of mine too. So let's hear a little Brian Regan right now. This is Brian Regan going to the emergency room and complaining about the parking situation.
So I pull up at the entrance to the emergency room. No valet parking. I mean, if that's not the biggest oversight in our solar system. If there's ever a time where you want to go, can you park this? Because I need to collapse immediately. No, I'm circling around the parking lot. Can I park that? I think I'm going to die. I'm Diane Tope. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, I'll go up a couple levels. Care if you're driving yourself or someone else to the emergency room, you still want to get out and run in with them. Are you supposed to drop somebody off and go park a car? Okay, you go in.
your shot. Ask them if they validate.
Brian Regan's so great. We'll hear more from Brian Regan later in the show, and Don Rosen will be on the show next, I want to say, a week from tonight. So that's what I'll say. Okay, so in just a few minutes, folks, author Stacey Ryan will be here. She writes about loss. She's a writer, an accomplished writer, and prolific, and she's going to be here to talk to us about her process and some of the things she writes about, which sometimes are difficult, but I'm kind of fascinated by her story. So we'll hear from Stacey in just a few minutes. Coming up at 8:05, a weather update. This is getting ridiculous. And I'm going to blame Brittany Merlot. She'll be here at 8:05. It's Brittany's fault. And Nathan Deming, the great filmmaker, at 8:35. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Come on, John!
Miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. It is April Fool's Day, an April Fool's Day edition of Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. Our question tonight, if you want to get in on the fun... Have you fallen for an April Fool's Day joke? If so, you can elaborate in as much detail as you like. Like I said, I fall for them every year. They're small ones. When I get out of bed, the first thing I hear is there was a mouse, whatever, just enough to get my blood pressure going first thing in the morning. Not a major thing, but I fall for every year somebody in my house says something and I fall for it. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. If you want to tell us your April Fool's Day story, Jim from Appleton in the 920 says, the last time I fell hard for an April Fool's joke was in the early 2000s. It happened that the first fell on a Friday. There was a popular talk radio guy that talks sports and politics. On his show, the last one of the week, he announced that it was his last show because he was running for governor. He spent the last half hour of his show convincingly telling his audience what he wanted to do as governor. Monday afternoon, when his show started, it was a canned laugh track with April Fool's being said under the laughter. I love that. Oh.
Are you announcing that you're running for governor?
I don't know if I'm ready for governor, maybe state assembly. I wanted to hear like the crazy platforms and his pitches. That's a great text though, Jim. Thank you. The voices you hear in the studio are my next guests, and they're really fun people because they've been here before. At least two of you have. Mm-hmm. Kim Shefchik, Chris Piat, and Adam Korber are here from On Stage for Cancer.
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Hi.
You have a lot of names in this group because it's Audrey's Angels, On Stage for Cancer.
Right, sort of.
So I'm glad I got that right. It was purely by chance.
You did well.
Either way, it's great to have Kim and Chris back. You guys were here with
Doctors in Recital.
Doctors in Recital. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Doctors on stage for recital, if you call it, if we want to do a hybrid. No, but you guys are so great. I'm so glad you're back because that was really fun having you guys sing in the studio. And Adam is here with the cello.
Mm-hmm.
Cello, Adam.
Mm-hmm. Cello there.
Have you heard those jokes like ad nauseum?
All the time.
It's great to have you here. Tell us a little bit about what you guys are promoting here today.
Well, we are a new nonprofit, and it's kind of a love child of sorts between a lot of different ideas that came together through some unfortunate things that all happened. Probably 8-9 years ago, a close family member was diagnosed with an aggressive stage 4 breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I was contemplating, you know, we really should do something to help support people with these aggressive forms of cancer that kind of people give up, people lose hope. And how do we help generate hope? And I thought, oh, it'd be really cool to do something like Doctors in Recital. But then, you know, something like COVID happened and Doctors in Recital also went on pause. And then this past year, a good friend of ours, Audrey Nowak, was diagnosed with an aggressive form of breast cancer. And Chris and I are good friends and like to sing together. And we thought, you know, it'd be fun to do a benefit for our friend Audrey. And then I went, you know, I have this this brainchild that I've been babysitting and keeping away in the closet, and I decided to bring it out and let's do it. And so we started this nonprofit, On Stage for Cancer, and our first benefit is going to be Audrey's Angels. That's what Audrey calls her team of supporters. And Audrey is a musician, very talented violinist, an educator, the fine arts coordinator at Howard Suamico School District. Helped work with a lot of really amazing musicians like Adam through different symphonies and organizations. And so we were really fortunate to have a lot of angels who wanted to get behind her. And so it was perfect timing and really fortuitous, too, that the Widener had an available date. And because of their love and support of Audrey, are also giving us that space to have this concert. So it's a pretty amazing turn of events that really were dark times but are turning into a shining light. So we our logo is a bright light shining on stage for cancer, and we also have worked with Audrey's family for our kind of logo for our event, because it's all about creating hope through a community and love and using music. And so again, our nonprofit is going to focus on people who work in the gig economy. So you probably know a lot of people too through your career that, you know, when you work in the arts and entertainment, you don't often have a safety net to fall back on. And so when people get cancer or even have a major surgery and are kind of stuck, they don't always have those traditional benefits. So ongoing, 75% of the proceeds from our event this year will go to Audrey, but then 25% is going to help spearhead this organization. I know I went on kind of long tangent about that.
No,
but
that was everything that you needed to say, though, so I'm good. I don't really have to contribute.
I just want to say, Kim, you seem to make all your side hustles seem to be helping your suffering friends. That's really incredible. I'm sorry you have so many friends who are suffering, but you sound like a really take the bull by the horns. Good for you. And I want to tell everybody listening, when you setting up a non-for-profit, it's just as difficult as setting up an LLC or whatever. It's a lot of hoops to jump through.
Yes.
So
a lot of work.
The fact that you guys are doing this.
Yes.
The work that goes into it, and for you not to really, you're not going to get rich off this.
No.
You're going to go sing.
You ready for a bomb drop? The person who inspired this is on our board. She's still alive. She was told 3 to 6 months, and she is our treasurer because does bookkeeping, and my brother, who's an attorney, has helped us too. So we've got enough connections, and obviously, again, the talented musicians who are donating their time and talent to put on what's really going to be a fun event.
Oh, yeah.
So we're still gearing up. We're looking for sponsors. We're selling tickets. We're really excited to make this event not just raise money, but a really good time.
Yeah.
And we love, as you know, to make music together with our friends.
The group is On Stage for Cancer. This show is called Audrey's Angels. It's Kim Shefchik, Adam Korber, and Chris Piatt. Chris, your husband, could not make it. He told me off the air he's suffering. He had a burst appendix that he was walking around with for a couple weeks, and you guys were giving him a hard time.
We love you, Paul. We love you.
He was here singing a couple months ago. Did it affect his voice? That's what I want to know.
The pain makes it stronger, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't it give you that?
There's a lot of
credo. Yeah.
He can't sing from the appendix anymore.
He can't.
But
gone.
Okay.
But the guitar playing help. Is he hasn't been able to play his guitar yet.
Yeah, he's a great guitarist. Yeah. Okay, so and the show is when? Tell us when the show is.
Saturday, June 1st.
Okay.
At
you're
the
still
Widener.
Looking for sponsors.
We're still accepting sponsors. We've got several from our community, some great businesses that are really gearing up. And again, not just supporting that gig economy, but entrepreneurs too. So moving forward, we're hoping to help support people who are really in need when they don't have that traditional backup.
I think it might be fate that you guys are here tonight, because I was cleaning out my dresser tonight. I've got $9 that has been sitting in my top dresser drawer. I didn't know how to spend it.
This
do you
is
divest?
Amazing.
Do you put it in the stock market? It's just sitting there. It's yours.
Absolutely. We are so honored.
I just want to
so
get the honored. Ball rolling.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, okay. Yes.
This is exactly how the whole process has been working.
It is. It
things
is.
Things have just been falling into place. Yes. It is fate. Things just, we know that we're doing the right thing because of how it's all coming together.
$9 at a time. Oh, I like that motto. Think about it. Think about it.
We need another water bottle sticking out.
There you go.
All right. You guys are going to play something. We got a cello
that's
here.
That's me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got, yeah.
Is it just cello or is there singing too?
We're going to do cello this time.
Just cello.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
The concert's going to be like a plethora, a menagerie of wow. stuff. There's it cello was... choir, string ensemble, some...
Love the strings.
Piano, vocal, what else? There was a weird thing, wasn't there? Eclectic, sorry, not eclectic. Weird.
Weird?
What was the...
Where'd you find this guy?
What was the eclectic thing?
The eclectic thing, that my favorite thing, is, you know, Jimmy Fallon does the classroom instruments. So yeah. we're going to do a classroom instruments oh song.
Okay.
So you got to come check it out. It's going right. to be amazing. One of a kind. One of a kind.
That'll be good.
Outstanding. All right. Let's hear some. This is
yeah.
This is Adam Korber on the cello.
That's me.
Take it away. Whatever I've you need got, there.
You want something jazzy or something classical?
Well, we're hoping, I'm hoping you can go a solid 2 hours. So why don't you pace yourself and no.
How about 8 minutes?
Let's start slow. Never open with a showstopper.
All right, cool.
So sounds let's good. Start with, yeah, whatever you, whatever you feel, buddy.
I'm ready for you.
Okay. This is so Adam Korber on the cello.
Okay? Everybody can hear me okay?
Conrad, we good?
Got me?
Yeah, we'll have to test. Yeah.
Oh, that's yeah. nice.
All right, sweet.
Beautiful.
So this is, Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach wrote 6 cello suites. There's the famous one.
Yeah.
This is not that.
Oh. he opened the showstopper.
This is the prelude to the 3rd suite, and it opens up with the angels descending from heaven.
Oh, love it.
So
nice.
I thought it was appropriate for
absolutely.
Today.
All right. That was wow. That was great.
Yeah.
That's a lot of notes.
There's a lot of notes on the page.
Adam Korber, ladies and gentlemen, on the on the cello, and Kim turning pages.
Yes.
Of course.
And, I was a little stressed, but I hit it.
That would be stressful.
Oh, man.
That would be stressful.
Let me tell you, I have had some bad page turns in my day. Have you ever had a bad
page turning? Is the worst thing
it's
on the face.
It's super stressful.
You don't
stressful.
Want to screw it up.
Don't go away. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
She said, son, please beware. There's this thing called love. Everywhere, as she told me, it can break your heart and put you in misery. Since I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now.
Welcome back. Got a couple more minutes here with Ben Reiser from the Wisconsin Film Festival. Ben, the sequel to Mystery Road, I might have liked even more, is called Goldstone. Have you seen that?
I saw them both. I think I liked Mystery Road better. I think I thought the main actor, I thought his performance was better in Mystery Road.
That may
but
be.
I could be wrong.
The scenery and the production value, or the cinematography, I should say, in Goldstone was I'm blown away by it. So anyway,
I love that guy, whoever that actor is,
Aaron Peterson.
Fantastic. Yeah, he's great.
He's great. Yeah. So, all right. So, what was the film Friday night? Something violent in the title. I want to
In a Violent Nature.
In a Violent Nature. Okay, great. All right.
Marquee at Union South. Kids, this is what you want to see. You want to see some blood? Come this way. Awesome. There will be blood. I will tell you that much.
All right. So before I let you go, Ben, I'm sure you have tons of work still ahead of you tonight. I can't remember if it was you or your wife last year at opening night told me the story about when you went to see Springsteen. How great is it that he's back continuing his tour now? I'm hoping to maybe even catch him again. But you guys went to see a show in Baltimore, and tell us what happened again. That was so funny.
Well, we didn't have tickets. And we were driving to Baltimore, and we knew we wanted to go to the show. And so all through the drive, I think we were driving from New York to Baltimore. We were on our, I mean, I was driving, but my wife and my daughter were both on their cell phones on competing sort of like StubHub sites, trying to find a ticket for less than $400. Cause you know, tickets to this last tour were insanely priced right off the bat. They were doing that. What do they call it? That dynamic pricing where it's like, if there's a high demand, it's like $1,000 for just to buy a ticket directly from Ticketmaster. So it's crazy. But anyway, the day of the show, prices were dropping and dropping. And we finally found three seats, which we thought were really good. And they were like, I don't know, $200 or $300 each. So we were still like, it's going to be close to $1,000 for this thing. But I was like, okay, it's worth it. My daughter had never seen Springsteen. I couldn't imagine if I'd ever have a chance to see him with her again. And she was into the idea. So we got these tickets last minute, and we show up at this stadium, whatever it was, this arena, Baltimore Arena. I don't even remember what the name of the place is, you know, and there's 20,000 people there. And we get there, and we've got these, you know, newfangled tickets on our smartphones or whatever. And we walk into the gate, and we go through a metal detector. We have to empty our pockets and stuff, but nobody's asking to see our tickets, and nobody has scanners that are scanning these tickets. And I'm like, well, at some point they're going to ask for the tickets, but we keep walking and walking. And now we're in, we're like, you know, practically at our seats, and still nobody has asked us for the tickets. And nobody was asked us to even turn our phones on. And as we're walking, I'm starting to hear other people around us that are saying the exact same thing. I don't know what was going on that night, but they didn't check a single ticket for the whole concert.
Like the whole grid was down or something.
Yeah, we spent like $900 or something. We could have just walked in for free. Unbelievable.
But they can't announce that, because then they open it up to potential terrorists or whatever. I mean, you guys, they probably played it right. Just let people go in, and they wouldn't be here if they didn't have a ticket, right?
Well, absolutely. And I'm sure they never did it again. I'm sure there must have been some kind of technical issue. And they're just, I mean, they must like, well, we'll have a riot on our hands if we keep everyone out until we can figure out how to scan tickets. So, you know, people aren't going to show up unless they already have tickets, but they don't know me. I mean, I'm an idiot. When I was a kid, I used to go to Madison Square Garden all the time, and older friends of mine taught me how to do this. You get an old ticket stub from some concert the year before, and you tuck a $5 or $10 bill under that, and you find the oldest guy taking tickets at the door of Madison Square Garden, and you put this thing in his hand, and he can feel the money underneath the ticket stub, and he just sends you right in. So
he just let a terrorist into the building.
Yeah, well, this was pre-terrorism, my friend.
Some idiot in Baltimore forgot to charge the scanners, and there you go. Yeah. We went to see him at Wrigley Field this summer. It was the first time I took my kids. I had been waiting to do it, and the timing just never aligned, and it was just perfect. It was like the most gorgeous night. I spent so much of my childhood at Wrigley Field, and to see him play there. But the tickets were like $490 for four tickets from the venue. What the heck? Yeah. The ticket brokers just jack it up. It's like almost not even... You can't even blame Springsteen. I mean, that was a really reasonably priced show to see an icon like Springsteen, you know?
Yeah. No, so. I would never blame Springsteen for anything. Yeah. Did you see him? He was on Curb Your Enthusiasm this week.
No, I got to see that. I know.
He's great. Very fun.
Hey, buddy, I can't thank you enough. This was so much fun. I know you got a lot on your plate, but I really appreciate the time.
I can't wait to see you this weekend. You're going to be in Madison. You're going to be introducing some films. You're going to do some panels. It's going to be great.
It's going to be a blast, as always. It's a great festival.
We'll have a drink or two at the Park Hotel. We'll reminisce.
We'll talk
about the time I came on the show and made a bad Terry Garr joke.
Someone had to. You're the best, buddy. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Pete.
That is Ben Reiser. Check out the Wisconsin Film Festival. It starts tomorrow night at the Barrymore Theater, which is sold out, but it runs through April 11th. So definitely check it out. They have so many great films, and it's such a fun time. Madison is just fun to begin with, but the film festival makes it even better. Conrad, you ever been to a film festival?
I have not.
Oh, man.
I definitely want to go, though. Sounds very fun.
We should talk to our friends down the block here from the Green Bay Film Festival, too. They do it a little differently, but most film festivals, I would say, do it like the Wisconsin Film Festival does. But you've been to Madison, right?
I've been to Madison, yeah.
Okay. So that's fun. Then you got all these great films that are just like... All you want to do is go to movies. And the great thing about it is you're watching films with other people who love films. Like I went to see Knox Checks Out or whatever it was last week with my wife. Knox Goes Away with Michael Keaton. And people in Marinette Kids go into the movie theater. They'll pay $8 and go in there and horse around. So after a couple being shushed a couple times, they finally, an hour into the film, thought, hey, this is okay. Let's see what happens here. And they shut up. But most people... You know, sometimes people treat a movie theater like it's their living room. But at film festivals, you don't get that. You have great fellow film lovers. So I highly recommend it. Check it out this weekend, folks. If you're down there, say hello. I'll be down there. Tomorrow night on the show, legendary comic Tom Dreesen joins me. And who's our other guest tomorrow, Conrad? We have a maestro on the show. Yeah. That'll be fun. I've never actually, I don't know if I've ever talked to a maestro. Have I?
Have you?
Yeah, he's from the La Crosse Symphony, and his name is Alexander Platt. He's a maestro, so that'll be a fun show, too. Thanks so much to Ben Reiser tonight. Thank you to Jeffrey Kurz, all the efforts they're making on behalf of our state and trying to get the rebates here. Great text tonight regarding, we got some fun projects, spaghetti in a tube. I'm so there.
Cheeseburger.
And
spaghetti custard.
Spaghetti-flavored custard, cheeseburger in a tube. You can't go wrong. This is... Pete Schwabe on behalf of my compadre Conrad Nightlight here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great night, everybody. Good night, Wisconsin. Right.